Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And this is Mike. How are you doing this week, bro?
Pretty darn good. Feeling good.
Oh, why are you feeling so good?
It's sunshine. I like the warm weather, the sun, the beautiful nature.
Not me. I love the cold.
Yeah, you're
this
weird.
This is not my time of year.
I love it when the trees and the flowers are in bloom and I can get out and get hiking. And I mean, you know, I did some hiking over the winter, but I pretty much want to spend all my time in the woods or outside. I actually thought about taking this outside to your yard and podcasting.
You want to podcast in the yard?
Yeah. Maybe down the hill by the camping spot.
Yeah, the camping spot. Yeah. We should do that. We should do an episode of Survival Punk in the Great Outdoors.
Yes,
we will
gotta
do
make,
that.
Got to make sure that your computer is charged, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got a good charge on here. It'll last for a few hours.
Well, we're not doing it right now. I mean, we're doing
let's go
right now. No. We're not going.
So, anything happened with you this week?
Oh, well, my workplace, the place where I work, I found out we're going to be moving.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to be moving two cities over, actually. Well, I couldn't call them cities. I mean, it's a small. One of them's a small town.
Right.
We're moving into the next county. It's going to screw with my drive a little bit.
Doesn't it actually cut time off your drive time?
No. It adds 8 to 19 minutes depending on which way I go.
Okay.
Yeah, but it actually it's funny. I discovered that the shorter the distance I go, the longer it's going to take me.
You explained it to me, and it was just weird.
Technically the shortest distance, which would cut 4/10 of a mile off my trip, is going to take 19 extra minutes. But the one that adds 11 miles to the trip is only going to take 8 extra minutes. This is one way, mind you.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I live a pretty good distance from where I work.
As do I for now, but hopefully not for much longer, because I'm putting into play my master plan. It's a good segue. My plan to take Survival Punk full time.
It would have been a good segue if you hadn't, called out the segue.
I like that, yeah. No, I'm putting into play my master plan to do Survival Punk as my full time gig. So.
The show or the website?
Both.
Oh, both?
Yes. The Survival Punk podcast, and then the blog topics. And I'm planning on in next month in June, which. This podcast may come out in June. To do a blitz and do a sort of relaunch of the website.
What do you mean a relaunch of the website? I meant to ask you about that when you brought it up.
Well, I'm not actually going to change anything, but I'm gonna bring on a bunch of guest posters for the month of June to help out and express some new ideas, new philosophies, and get some good stuff. Probably shoot some YouTube videos now that it's nice and outside, and my new cell phone has amazing video quality.
Okay, you twisted my arm. I'll do a guest post on your website.
So I've been contacting people about a lot of interesting topics. Everything I want to say pretty much all segues together. So, because now I don't have my car payment, I have extra money to invest in advertising and resources for the website. And one of those happened to work out where I got in contact with an internet blog buddy / celebrity that I admire. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends podcast. So, starting next month, I'll be buying advertising space on his podcast and the radio stations he's on to bring in some new fans from the Fiends.
Yeah, so we're actually going to get some audio exposure in real media as opposed
right.
to internet media.
Yeah, so he said he's on 24 radio stations nationwide.
Oh,
So he'll be giving us a 7-day-a-week shout-out.
Oh, just think about it. We could have listeners in all these different states.
I've got two pretty active, good supporting fans. One from Canada. Actually, I have a few Canadian fans.
Really?
Shout-out to the Canucks. And
That's a derogatory term.
Yeah. I've got a couple fans in New Zealand, so shout-out to the Kiwis.
Oh, yeah, you're going to hell.
I'm pretty sure I have my friend Danielle from Australia listens to the podcast, because I have a sexy American Southern voice. She doesn't... I really feel
this
that we should bring on someone
this would have
really
to be
Southern.
According to Australia. Yeah, we... Well, our producer's really Southern.
Yeah, I've only ever heard that I have a Southern accent from really
an Australian
and Stephanie Murphy of the Pork Therapy Podcast up in New Hampshire. She thinks I have a Southern accent.
Did you say Pork Therapy?
Yeah, Pork Therapy. I was a guest. Was
that the one that I listened
to? Yeah, oh, the whole preamble here is all flowing together. I got in contact with Stephanie through her guest appearance on one of Michael W. Dean's podcasts.
Wow.
And then I ended up being a guest star on her podcast. So, it's a small internet world.
Oh. We should get her to come on our podcast.
I thought about seeing if she'd do a guest post on Bitcoins for the June relaunch.
Well, you could do that, but I'd also like to see her come on our podcast.
Yeah. I'm sure she would love to come on our podcast.
You're going to have to mark this one explicit, my friend.
The last thing, and certainly not the least, but it is not for you, but as of today when we're recording this, it is Memorial Day weekend. It's Saturday.
I would say happy Memorial Day, but that just seems inappropriate.
Yeah, I just want to take the time to remember all those that have died for the freedom that we do have in this country. Mm-hmm. I in no way support a lot of things the government is doing, but we're not as bad off as a lot of countries, and that did take a price to get that way.
Yeah, and I'd like to personally just throw a salute to all those who fell defending us. Just, you gave your lives for us, and even though you might not feel it, but there are those of us out there who appreciate that, and thank you every day for all that you've given. Not just for those who've fallen, for those who still stand and fight, you know, the enemies of this country. Those veterans out there, like my friend Todd, a.k.a. Sergeant Swyatt. I'm very proud of him. He's about as close as you can get to being a superhero without the cape.
Right.
So, yeah, to all of our men and women out there fighting for our country and for all those who gave their lives for it, I salute you, and I'm proud to be an American because of it.
All right. So what do we got coming up on today's episode,
Mike? We're going to be discussing some the seven secrets of medical prepping, why Cody Lundeen is currently not a very happy camper, the funds and all the great things about being outside. We're going to be we have a new survival gadget this week in the footwear department. Going to be talking about how Sam Briggs is out of games and 11 things that could destroy your immune system. We're going to have a new segment, a couple new segments this week. We're going to be discussing our wild edible of the week. We're going to throw some shout outs to our sponsors. Going to, of course, have another gripping round of Mike's worst cases.
Maybe I'll win. Maybe I won't. Who knows?
Exactly. And we've actually got another new. I am blanking on words today. You got to excuse me. Segment. There you go. We got another new segment. The Permaculture Minute. That'll be coming up later in the show. And of course, the usual suspects. You know, our celebrity invite and what have you. But let's just go right into our first news story this week. The seven secrets of medical prepping, which we will talk about after we give our shout out to our good friends over at JM Bullion.
Right, and I really need to get in contact with someone with their marketing department because their advertising runs up this month, and I would hate for my listeners, readers, to miss out on buying gold and silver from what I feel to be the best place online to get your gold and silver, jmbullion.com.
Yep, gold, silver, always a good investment.
Always a good investment. And the place to get it is jmbullion.com. And if you do get it, go to Survival Punk first, click on the banner, which should be there in June as well, I hope.
Yep, here's hoping. Survivalpunk.com, click on the banner for JM Bullion. Okay, and now, as I was trying to jump the gun a minute ago, let's move right into our first news story for this week. The seven secrets of medical prepping. You want to share this with me? Tell me exactly what you got going on here.
Yeah, I got this news story content sent to me in my email, and it's featured on James W. Rawls's survivalblog.com website.
It's an article written by Cynthia J. Colker?
Sure.
Colker?
MD.
It's a doctor.
So the seven secrets of medical prepping. Someone once commented that my book held no secrets to medical prepping, that I don't even know who this is, to be honest. I've never heard of this Cynthia. Back on point. That everything in the book could be found elsewhere. I have to agree. But it would take you hundreds of hours to compile this information. My experience has taught me to be cautious of secrets. Don't they usually just cause trouble? Nothing in medicine should be secret anyway. In fact, the subtitle to my survival medicine course is Taking the Mystery Out of Medicine. Still, secrets can be fun, and what follows are seven secrets that you should know if you don't already.
Number one, outdated drugs aren't actually expired, and this is something I have a lot of experience in working for a pharmacy. Drug expiration dates are comparable to best if used by dates. Medications are tested to prove that they are safe for a documented period of time, but this is nothing about safety or efficacy beyond the test date. When stored according to manufacturer directions, pills, tablets, and dry powders are likely safe and effective for years beyond their printed expiration dates. The shelf-life extension program has confirmed this for many drugs, including several antibiotics. However, outdated liquid medications are significantly less likely to remain stable and therefore should be used with caution.
Right. Number two, and this is one that I know very well, fish antibiotics are the same as human antibiotics. At least in many cases, this is true. Keep in mind that fish antibiotics are legally sold OTC for aquarium use, not for human ingestions. However, if you're going to use the fish antibiotic route, make sure you find a source where you can confirm that the drugs are USP grade, AB rated generics. Ideally, the seller would provide images of these medications showing their imprint numbers, which can be double checked against a pill finder. If you look at pictures, the human fish antibiotics and fish antibiotics are stamped the exact same markings because they came from the exact same factory off the exact same conveyor belt line. It's interesting.
Honestly, never thought that there'd be that much crossover between fish medicine and human medicine.
Antibiotics are antibiotics.
Yeah. Okay, number three. Laymen can learn to suture as well as professionals. Having taught suturing classes over the last few years, I've concluded that the layman can learn to suture as well as a professional, at least when it comes to straightforward lacerations, such as those seen daily at urgent care centers. If you'd like to learn, perhaps a local physician, dentist, PA, nurse practitioner, or midwife could be willing to assist. There are also a handful of schools for preppers, missionaries, and crisis workers scattered across the country which you could attend.
Yes. I lean away from suturing and prefer other methods of wound closure if you do indeed close a wound closure. But I can see it, you know, if you have the chance to take a suturing class, then you might as well take it.
Cauterization, super glue.
Stair strips, leaving it open unless it needs to be closed.
Zippers.
Number four, OTC drugs are as strong as prescription drugs. Why don't people believe this? I think it's largely because when the average person visits a physician, they want something better. I could go on about they want something better than they could have procured on their own, thus making the trip to the doctor worthwhile. However, readers of survival blog are above average. I don't disagree. And should educate themselves regarding the amazing array of potent medications that have changed status in recent years, from prescription to over-the-counter. One recently changed, I think, an antacid medicine. Some of my favorites include ibuprofen. Ibuprofen, really?
Yeah, ibuprofen. I mean, you can still get a prescription grade. It's usually the higher milligrams, like 800 milligrams of prescription grade. But yeah, I mean, that can be sold over-the-counter.
Okay.
Naproxen.
Zantac.
Naproxen, that's the same as Aleve.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Naproxen, Zantac, Pepcid, Prilosec, Prevacid, Claritin, Allegra, Zyrtec, blah, blah. Lots of pills in there. There's another one recently that just went OTC for prescription that is an allergy or possibly the purple pill, whatever that is, for stomach acid, I mean.
There's a purple pill?
A little purple pill, whatever it is.
Didn't Eminem do a song about the purple pill?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, many medicines don't work most of the time. In many situations, drugs offer little or no benefit over a tincture of time. Many illnesses that are often treated with medicine would resolve on their own, given a little more time than impatient Americans allow. For example, using antibiotics to treat sinus infections almost offers no benefit. Even among patients
with x-ray proven sinusitis, 93% chance of no benefit. The answer is similar for adults with middle ear infections, but young children do benefit. Is saline irrigation better for preventing infections and wounds than simple tap water? Maybe for one patient in 36. Do prophylactic antibiotics help prevent infection in people with animal bites but no sign of infections yet? No. Do topical antibiotics help pink eye? Maybe. About 1 in 7 patients gets well faster. Does aspirin help prevent a heart attack or stroke in healthy people? 1 in 1667 will benefit. 1 in 1667 will benefit. Check out www.thennt.com and search for your favorite problem of a disease. The number needed to treat, along with the number needed to harm, are interesting concepts introduced into medical research in the past decade or so. If a doctor gave you a drug and told you, when I treat 10 patients with this medicine, I'll help on average only one, would you take it? Even knowing these statistics, doctors use medicines that offer very little value simply because patients want something. These numbers are not meant to depress you, but rather to allow you to conserve your limited supply of drugs for serious problems.
All right. Neither drugs nor doctors actually cure anyone. The best a doctor or medicine can do is to optimize the environment to allow the God-given healing process to occur. Antibiotics don't cure anyone directly. They just, hopefully, kill enough germs to allow your immune system to take care of the rest. AIDS patients don't die of HIV. They die of diseases of their own immune systems cannot overcome. Regardless of how many antibiotics doctors prescribe, surgeons don't cure appendicitis. They just remove the infection to allow the body to heal itself. The closest to a cure doctors can achieve is by recommending something your body actually lacks, such as vitamin C, that can cure scurvy. However, this is actually just providing your body with the building blocks it needs to function in the same sense that food cures starvation.
At least for a while.
And there was a Greek physician, Hippocrates, His saying was, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food.
Yeah, it was Hippocrates, hence the Hippocratic Oath.
Hippocratic Oath, yep. And you can take number 7, buddy.
All right. You can number 7. You can be better prepared than a physician to care for your own health. In truth, there are no secrets of medical prepping. The information explosion has made all the health information available to doctors available to you as well. While there's still time, educate yourself for free online. And buy an assortment of primary care textbooks. Also, whereas doctors do have a great deal of medical education and experience, very few are doing any sort of preparation for a rainy day or
Teotihuacan, the end of the world as we know it.
If you say so. Even if you don't have the confidence to provide medical care, you can acquire the tools, medications, and instruments for someone with training to use. Invest a few $100s in common medical items to equip a small clinic, vis-a-vis stethoscope, pen light, otoscope, syringes, suture material, plaster, over-the-counter medications, bandages, splints, dressings, etc. So there you have it. The cat is out of the bag. You know all my secrets. Well, actually, I do know a few more that I don't put in writing in order to protect all of us. However, if and when you meet me in person, feel free to ask. For further information on the above topics and many more, visit my website at www.armageddonmedicine.net, where you can also register for upcoming survival medicine workshops.
Whoops.
All right, and our next article is...
The next up in the news... Cody. Cody Lundin is not very happy. By the way, Cody, you can still come on the show. That's still an open-ended invitation.
I saw a picture the other day from the Discovery Channel Dual Survival fan page on Facebook about the guy they replaced him with. I didn't even bother clicking on it, but...
Who is it that they're replacing him with?
I don't even know.
You don't know? This is...
But man, I didn't care. I'm going to read this article right now.
I just want to know why he's upset.
So, as fans already know, this will be the last season for One Dual Survival Duo, and from his Facebook postings, it looks like Cody Lundin, who does not make it all the way through. Lundin has made it clear that he is He is the one with the shortest time span on the show and has made it absolutely clear that he is unhappy with Discovery's portrayal of his departure. I've heard there's some bickering over, like, Discovery Channel saying that he's not qualified and they're getting rid of him or whatever. At this time, Discovery has implied that the survivalist leaving will do so because he reaches his breaking point. Ooh. It is no secret that Cody and his partner on the show, Joe Teddy, fight constantly, but as I had stated in a earlier preview of the season premiere, quitting just doesn't seem to fit the profile of either of these men. You can take over.
Lundin indicates that he did not quit, as has been implied, but he was fired by Discovery Channel. In a post on his Facebook page, Lundin states, "It is true that I was scheduled to shoot all episodes for season 4, but as I was fired due to the differences over safety and health concerns, I filmed only 4 shows. The shows I participated in were filmed in Sri Lanka, Oman, and Norway. Matt Graham, one of the people from Dude, You're Screwed, was hired to replace me."
Huh? Oh, Matt Graham.
"As Discovery moves forward with launching the new season of Dual Survival, I hope the network will choose a different tactic for the presentation and marketing of a show that is not at my expense. Many fans of the show have never truly warmed to Joe Teddy, who replaced Dave Canterbury after he was fired from the show for exaggerations made on his resume. Canterbury has since admitted and apologized for his mistake, and you can see that here," and it shows a video. Whoa, he grew a beard.
Oh, yeah, he's got long hair now, too. He's like a hippie. With the two principal cast members gone, will fans accept the show?
No.
I quit watching. If Teddy and Graham have a better rapport, it could actually be a better show. Then again, frustrated fans may revolt completely, yes. But only time will tell. And if Lundin's Facebook information is accurate, apparently that time will begin after episode 4 this season. And they tell us about tonight's episode, which there's no time. So, yeah.
You know, if I was one of the execs at one of the other big channels, Learning Channel, whatever, I don't know if it's some of the same people that do the...
Learning Channel, you mean the White Trash Channel?
Either that or, like, the Science Channel or something like that.
Yeah.
If I was one of the big execs, I would frickin' snatch up Cody Lundin and Dave Canterbury to do another show, maybe with a different title, but pretty much the same thing, because that's what people miss.
Yeah.
Those two had magic together. They worked together well. I don't know, did they ever have any kind of falling out?
I don't remember there being, like, I from what I saw, they're actually close friends, at least until when the show ended.
Hmm.
Well,
anyway, you know what? I think, okay, this is just coming out of nowhere. I've got a brainstorm idea. You know that reality show Survivor?
Yeah.
I personally think they should get all the survival stars onto a special season of that show.
A celebrity season?
Celebrity season of Survivor.
That could
have, like, Cody Lundin and Dave Canterbury and Bear Grylls and Les Stroud and those, you know, all of these guys.
Right.
Just get them all together on one show and, you know, actually do it real for this time.
Right.
Yeah, and just for shits and giggles, throw in that guy that was from Alone in the Wild, the guy that
so he could cry about his girlfriend again?
Yeah, I just want to see how long he'd last in the show. If his past show is any indication, a little over 50%.
I was going to say, I don't have all the details, I just started hearing about it, and it sounds interesting. There's a new show coming out called Utopia.
Utopia.
Where they take a bunch of people and put them on, like, a farm for a year...
Mm-hmm.
To survive.
That's just a modern day farm?
It's. From what I hear, they have to either, like, grow their own food or do things. They'll be kind of like the Amish, I believe. Where they're cut off from the grid and they have to survive and do things on their own. And if they can't grow their own food, they need to do something to make money to trade or barter for food.
Kind of like an Amish version of the colony.
I've heard some details about it. And it sounds interesting, and I might check it out.
Hmm.
So it's not coming on yet. It's got a while before it goes, and they're still in, like, the final screening of people. God, I wish I would have signed up.
I know we're off on a tangent, but do you know what I think my worst reality show moment of any kind of survival thing was?
Huh?
It was season 2 of The Colony.
Oh.
On, like, the first or second episode when Chick was washing her hair with everybody's drinking water.
I would have...
killed her neighbor.
They were sitting there shooting her evil looks, but nobody, struck her or threw a tomahawk at her, which is what I would have done. That's always my move.
Exactly. Yeah.
Alrighty, well, next up, seeing how we're talking about all this stuff that tends to happen outdoors, when that's kind of where you want to be, it's time to move on to our main topic for the day.
It is. I come alive when the weather gets nice, nature's in bloom.
I could tell you woke up on the correct side of the cave this morning, bro.
Yes, I just want to be outside. I'm itching to wrap up. I mean, I'm excited about this episode. I'm bursting. I feel energized about how great this episode is, but I want to hurry up and get outside and fire up that grill, because pretty much my routine is, if I'm off work, I'm going to grill some sort of meat. And the grill is going to be going, and it will. I want to be outside. I want to be hiking. I want to be exploring, climbing.
You love throwing raw meat over an open flame.
Yes. So, just to talk about encouraging everyone else to get out and enjoy the weather and be healthy and active.
Yeah, there are many, many activities outside that you can do that aren't not even that complicated. Like, one of my favorite outdoor activities is hunting geocaches. I mean, if you don't know what a geocache is, just Google it. You'll find all sorts of stuff. They have their own website. It's basically a global treasure hunt.
Right.
And I figured out why I got into it so easily. I'm a big-time indoor gamer, okay? I play my video games. And my favorite video game series of all time is probably the Grand Theft Auto series. And anybody who's ever played a Grand Theft Auto game knows that these games have something in common. Hidden packages that are spread out all over these gigantic cities that you gotta find.
Right.
And basically, geocaching, in my eyes, is like a real-life finding of hidden packages on those games.
You're on a quest to find an item.
Yeah, now essentially what basically a geocache is, it is a container that it usually has like some kind of a log sheet in it. Some of them have pens, some of them don't. Some of them even have little prizes that you can trade off. You take a prize out, you put something in to replace it. I mean, they're all different sizes, and they're hid all over the world. Literally all over the world, every continent, there's geocaches on Antarctica.
Right.
I mean,
I'm waiting for one on the moon. Like, someone needs to get a geocache up there.
I'm not sure if that would count, though.
No, I'm saying someone needs to hide a geocache on the moon and then challenge everyone else to get to it.
Yeah, that would, oh my god, yeah.
There'd be a race of nerds building, geocaching planes.
Who's talking?
And we're back from our brief pause. Talking about geocaches, and we did that a few times during the winter, which was somewhat miserable. I had a runny nose and just cold, but
we still had fun doing it, though.
We had fun. I'm trying to get you guys out this summer.
It's a global treasure hunt. Well, I'd love to. But you're so damn lazy. We never can get you to go do anything.
Well, whatever. Whatever. I'll geocache at the drop of a hat. It'll be a while until I'm off on a weekend again, so...
Yeah, I know it.
So that's...
Just quit your job.
I'm working on it. So that'll be out.
You're doing it wrong.
No.
You're still working.
Right. So geocaching is one thing. Check around you. I live in Ashton City, the place I've lived in for years now, and only, I think, this past year did I find out there was not one, but two amazing parks right down the street from me, which are now my go-to hiking spots.
Really?
Yeah, Beeman Park, right in...
That's the one I've been to.
Yeah, that's the one I took you and your wife to and your kids.
That was a catastrophe.
Well, yeah, you forgot your inhaler and it was bad, but I enjoyed it, and it's beautiful. I took pictures last time I went. So yeah, I mean, I was on the way home the other day and not really in a funky mood, but just kind of in a funk, and decided, hey, I'm about to drive by it. I'm going to swing, go down the street, and then, waste an hour doing some hiking and trail running, and it was good. I took some pictures of nature. I spent some time, I ran a mile up and down hills. It was good, It would have been nice if I wasn't wearing blue jeans and a plaid shirt and was wearing something more apt to be sweating at in nature.
Right.
But,
you should always keep athletic wear on you.
I had gym clothes in the car. I could have changed, but I didn't think about it until I got about halfway and was covered and sweaty. In Tennessee, we have the scene called humidity and lots of it.
Thank you for bringing up the weather and Tennessee, because there's something that I'd like to talk about. Yeah. But it doesn't have anything to do with this, so I'll save it.
Okay. So, yeah, hiking and trail running, look around you, find something, get out there and do some camping. I mean, we talked about that, what, last week, week before?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a night or two overnight, you know, just go out on a Friday night. If you have one of those lovely Monday through Friday jobs that I wish I had, get out there and, you know, spend a night and come back Sunday and get ready for work the next day.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're, there is something out there in nature for you to do. I was just making plans with a friend of mine to go do a river float, which is something I've been putting off for a while.
River float, is that like floating on inner tubes down a river?
I've seen it, the tubes, or where you can rent canoes or kayaks.
Well, that's something myself and our producer, my wife, have been wanting to do forever.
There's one right down the street in Kingston Springs.
Well, yeah, see,
those in between you and me, there's one. There's a couple of them down there, I think.
Right, and there's some off of Highway 70 down near Pegram.
Right.
There's some canoe rental places where you can go and canoe down the Harpeth River.
I mean, we have, like, some good rivers here. I mean,
yeah, we got the Cumberland and we got the Harpeth. I mean, you go a little further west, you got the Tennessee River. I mean, there's really good rivers around here.
Yeah, there's and it's a beautiful area. I meant to go back this year. In Ashton City, there's an overpass, and then beneath it, there's, like, I guess the local creek spot where everyone goes swimming.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you go down the beaten track, and then it's beautiful. Me and Gabriel found a hiking spot right off of Charlotte Pike that has a river running through it and some cool artifacts, old train tracks, some graffiti that's amazing, like amazing graffiti.
Where's this at?
It's right off of Whitebridge Road, right before, like if you're going down Whitebridge Road before you get to Richland Park, it's Richland Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. Then. So, that's great. I like that. It's got some jackasses that leave dog poo on the trail, so you got to watch out for that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it's good. So, yeah, I mean, get out there and enjoy it. I'm trying to keep from spending money, but I've really been I've been thinking about picking up a bicycle to add that to my repertoire of getting out in the weather.
You should go back to skateboarding.
Oh, my God. Thanks for bringing that up. On my way here to your place, there's a stretch of, like, virgin brand new pavement. And every time I see that, it takes me back to, like, being 16 years old and, like, finding that virgin pavement to skateboard on.
Because
it's so smooth. Like, you know, normal pavement, you know, it's a little rocky, a little bumpy. But when you get, like, the fresh poured stuff,
right,
it's so smooth, you don't feel anything.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So bicycles, skateboards, if you're into skate. Inline skating or whatever. Skateboard
down that new bridge.
I know.
That's got a really good incline on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I miss skateboarding. Thanks for bringing that up.
You should take it up again.
So skateboarding, canoeing, kayaking. Oh my God. Next month, in probably 2 weeks, I'm going to run a 12-mile adventure race.
What's exactly an adventure race?
It's race. It's like a race, but it has obstacle courses.
Oh. Is this a foot race?
Yes.
I'd love to see you do that.
I may have some pictures taken.
Oh, definitely.
Hold on. Sadly enough, it just happened to be that my cousin signed up for the same race in the same time slot.
Oh.
Who's been CrossFitting and training about a year longer than me.
Oh, you don't want to get shown up by your cousin.
He is going to smash me. He's been doing some 6K trail runs to warm up for it.
You can't go into it with that attitude. You got to go into it with a winner's attitude.
Yeah, I'm gonna make myself finish this race.
Yeah, you're gonna finish the race.
Yes.
No, you don't have an option. You're gonna finish the race.
Yes. It's a Saturday. You should come watch me. Actually, yeah, you should come watch me.
When's this gonna be?
June the 7th.
Would you be up for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd come out and support you.
I mean, I think you have to get spectator tickets, but I don't know. Yeah. Check into it.
Will do.
Anything else outside I'm thinking about? I'll play this with your kids later on. So I bought a Frisbee from work.
Oh, you finally got a Frisbee?
I got my Frisbee, and I just carry it everywhere I go now. So, I'll just play Frisbee at drop of a hat. Like, hey, I got the Frisbee. Let's get it. Let's you know, get out there. And with that, it's also trying to incorporate more playing in life.
Right.
Because Traditional hunter-gatherers did not spend a 40-hour, 60-hour work week. They spent, you know, most of their time playing, and then they're like, oh, I'm hungry. I should go kill this antelope. So our work-play balance has been completely skewed, and I want my play to be outside having fun.
And besides, I mean, that kind of primitive play that they did back then was also teaching them survival skills.
Right. And if you have kids, go to the parks and the playgrounds a lot. And I don't have kids, so I just go with my friends now and play with their kids in the parks, like yours and Gabriel's nieces and nephews. I'd have a blast on the monkey bars, the jungle gyms, everything. So, yeah, if you don't have kids, go find a friend with kids and be like, let's go to the park. Let's take the kids out. Screw the PlayStation. Let's go have outside fun in the park.
It's important. I mean, it is important. I mean, as we've discussed before, spending too much time inside can actually screw with your mental development and everything, artificial lighting and all that, and messes with your biological clock. So it's important to get back to that more primitive thing, going back to your roots. Never forget where you came from.
I'm struggling to get through this podcast as much as I'm amped and excited about it because I want to go outside. Well, I'm making s'mores with your kids, and they've been hounding me since I got here.
Yeah, and for those of you who've been following his diet, it is cheat day, so give the guy a break.
Yeah,
my once-a-month cheat day.
Which always seems to fall on a day that you're over here.
I plan it that way.
I would certainly hope so, otherwise it's just an amazing coincidence.
Right. All right, so I feel that we've talked a lot. If you have any questions or any comments, feel free to comment on the blog.
Right.
Just get out there and have some fun.
Oh, absolutely. And just incidentally, if there's anything you want to hear us talk about, anything survival related, any questions you might have for us or show topics, also, you know, just comment on the blog or shoot us an email at james@survivalpunk.com. All right, now it's time for our survival gadget of the week. I'm not sure, does this actually qualify as a survival gadget? We're just going to start calling them survival punk gadgets.
Survival punk gadgets.
Punk gadget of the week.
I want to say this is the second time we've done shoes in this category. I've covered the Primal Professional before.
Yeah, you did cover the Primal Professional. The shoes that look like business shoes, but they're pretty much moccasins on the bottom.
Right. This time, these are the pair, because I forgot to bring them in.
I wasn't sure the exact brand, but I had a junky pair of Walmart special gym shoes that I've been wearing to CrossFit. They're not exactly perfect for CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
I've had issues with the bottom of them had these big giant like ridge things. So when I was jump roping, sometimes those would like catch the jump rope.
Oh, really?
And that was annoying. So I had to jump rope barefoot sometimes.
But we're not here to talk about those.
Right. Yeah, I'm just a prelude to why I decided to spend the money and buy a new pair of shoes strictly for CrossFit.
Yeah, the Reebok CrossFit Nano 3.0.
Right. And I'd sort of had my eyes on the Nano 2s, but So I was heading back from work the other day on my extra day off, and I stopped by the Rivergate Mall to bring, which is funny because as I was walking in, I was like, I should buy a belt just to show Mike. But anyway,
I would beat you.
I digress.
I would beat you with that belt. Just to go back to urban survival for a second. Years and years ago, we were living in my Ford Escort, homeless. Our only source of income was donating plasma twice a week. This SOB spends over $20 on a belt.
Yeah.
We didn't know where our next meal was coming from, but he's buying belts.
Yep. So I stopped by this mall because I had to pee real bad. And then while I was there, I was like, I really need to start looking for a new pair of shoes. So I was going to walk around to the shoe stores and look and see what they had. And I found the Reebok CrossFit Nano 3, which is basically the shoe I was looking for. Either that or the Innovate brand. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any Innovate. I found it in my color, red and black.
Now, what are some of the benefits of this shoe?
Some of the benefits from this shoe are why these are perfect for anyone. Let me read you about it. Introducing the CrossFit Nano 3, our most versatile training shoe ever. Constructed. The evolution continues with a dual-density platform that provides the perfect combination of forefoot cushioning and heel stabilization. We've added more flexibility and protection to the outsole with the MetaSplit grooves and the Rope Pro wraps on the medial and lateral sides. We've carried the innovation into the upper
with a new Dura cage, which looks kind of funny. It's like the shoe's wrapped in rubber. I'll show you after we podcast. Construction for the ultimate protection and lightweight support. So yeah, it's really like, it's like a thin, thin fabric, but it has like this, like, webbing cage of rubber that surrounds your foot. Like a roll cage, like in a car, kinda.
I was gonna say, kinda like the steel treads on a tire.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, anyway, I'll show you. Now you are ready to take on the toughest workouts. 360 degrees, PU.
PU.
I don't know what that is. Cast for lightweight, seamless, engineered durability and short. ETC anti-friction lining to reduce abrasion and heat buildup while breathable air mesh. Dual density for rear foot stability and impact protection. Die cut ortholite sock liner. RCF natural last enables full foot dispersion for greater stability in the medial lateral 4 millimeter heel to toe drop. So instead of having the giant angle on the back, it's a slight angle. The reasons I like the shoe are they are really light. They are really flat.
Actually, that doesn't look flat. It's got kind of a curve to it.
That picture is bad.
It still has a curve from that side.
It's better. What I'm saying is it doesn't have a heel.
Yeah, the heel curves up.
But I mean, it's not a drop down like shoes. I like how that doesn't do it justice. It really is a really flat laying shoe.
It doesn't look like it from any angle. I mean, right there, it shows it's sitting on a platform and it's curved up.
Okay, the shoe is really flat, and there's not a lot of heel rise. The toe area has a lot of toe wiggle room. Mm-hmm. I don't like toes with a lot of point on them. I like my toes to be able to, like, splay out and be comfy. So, sort of flat, toe room, light. It's a good all-round shoe.
Now, the price tag on it looks to be about $120, $119.98 to be precise.
You could probably shop around on the internet and find it cheaper. I went into, I think, Foot Locker. I think Foot Locker is where I got it.
Just keep in mind.
Or Champs. I bought it from Champs. And yeah, it was $119.
But you got to keep in mind, though, your feet are like one of the most used parts of your body.
Right.
I mean, you're going anywhere, you're going to be using your feet. Even if you're in a car, you're using your feet.
Right. And doing some of the heavy Olympic lifts, I want a good, solid shoe to keep from breaking my ankle or losing stability and breaking another part of my body.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, everything you lift with your arms, everything you lift with your back, everything you lift with your chest, your feet are also having to lift you plus all that.
Yeah, so CrossFit Nano 3s, check them out.
Okie dokie. All right, now it's time for Nutrition Corner, and we got a full card here on Nutrition Corner today.
What do we got up first for Nutrition Corner?
Sam Briggs, out of games, whatever that means.
Right, I'm not even going to pull the article up. So, I've brought it up a few times about the CrossFit game, so I like to keep some of my viewers, listeners, up to date on the CrossFit games, which, if you're any interest whatsoever of the CrossFit games, you already know this.
Now, who's Sam Briggs?
Sam Briggs is last year's winner, several-time runner-up of the CrossFit Games, a.k.a. she wore the belt from last year, the world's fittest woman.
Oh, Sam's a chick.
Sam, yeah.
Sam, short for Samantha.
Sam is a British firefighter lady.
Oh, okay.
So,
is she the one that my daughter liked?
No, your daughter liked...
The Canadian.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My daughter's kind of a fan of watching the CrossFit games.
Yeah. So, Camille LeBlanc-Bazinet, that's who she liked.
Okay. But
the triple name. But anyway, yeah, Sam Briggs, who's won the CrossFit games last year, came in like second and third places for a few years. Mm-hmm. This year in the CrossFit Open, which is what I signed up for and did poorly in, she won that. She won the CrossFit Open. Top score. Smoked everybody else by, like, a huge margin.
Woot woot.
When she went to regionals, apparently she didn't do so well in a couple of the workouts.
Oh.
And she completely fouled up the handstand walk challenge.
What exactly is the handstand walk challenge?
It was like a 100-meter walk.
On your hands?
On your handstand. Yeah, handstand.
How'd she foul it up?
She couldn't do it.
How'd she get falling over?
She couldn't do it, yeah.
Oh.
So she crapped in that, and then I think there was an overhead squat that took her out as well.
Oh, wait, how do you squat overhead?
You hold the barbell overhead and do a squat. It's hard as crap.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I'm...
Keep in mind, I know nothing of this stuff.
Right, yeah. It's exactly what it sounds like. You do a squat, but the bar is over your head, locked out.
That's not exactly what it sounds like. I thought you'd overhead be standing squat. On your hands doing a squat.
No. Overhead squat.
Okay.
Overhead. So anyway, because of that, she completely did not qualify at all.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, unless she gets a wild card slot or the creator of CrossFit Games just lets her sneak in somehow, she will not be back to the CrossFit Games this year.
Oh, that's a shame for fans of hers. That's a shame for her.
It's terrible for her, but...
But this gives you a chance.
No.
It gives you a shot.
Not for the European regionals.
Oh, you could make it.
The person that won the regionals for Europe was actually my favorite female competitor, Annie Thor's daughter. A redhead from Iceland. Annie Thor's daughter. So, who was out last year because of a back injury, which is the year that Sam Briggs won it... And then the 2 years previous to that, she lost to Annie.
Oh.
So, and then this year, it looked like Sam was going to take it from Annie. Like, actual head-to-head competition.
Oh, really?
You know, as in, like, Sam never beat Annie at the CrossFit Games. She beat her in some of the open workouts and stuff. But in the regionals, Annie, like, just... Actually, she won first place, but she never took first place in any event. So you get points for where you place that in the events.
Right.
She won without ever taking a first place.
Oh.
Which is interesting because she didn't finish worse than seventh in any event.
How do you win without ever winning?
You know, consistency across all the events.
Hmm. You mean, in other words, people that won in some event would, like, lose in others.
Right.
But she stayed pretty much at the same level across the board. Okay, I get you.
Yeah. So,
shame for Sam, but I'll get to see Annie, so I'm okay.
Yeah. All right, up next, that should have been a news story. Okay, now it's time to talk about your immune system, that thing that people cannot live without.
Right, so we got 11 things, and this article is on yahoo.com. I saw it shared on Facebook. So, let's see. So let's go across these 11 things. Microwavable popcorn. Immune system assassin. Microwave popcorn bags are commonly coated in nonstick chemicals called perfluorinated compounds, or PFCs. So grease doesn't penetrate the bag. A recent study in the Environmental Health found levels the government considers safe are 100 to 1,000 times too high for children. These chemicals have been shown to mess up your immune system. Vaccines given to people with higher levels of PFCs in their bodies were much less effective. Interesting. Immunity boost. Make popcorn on the stovetop or use this DIY popcorn trick. So, go back to Jiffy Pop, buddies, and put it on the stove.
All right. These same chemicals hide out in many stain-repellent carpets and furniture treatments and grease-proof fast food containers and wraps, so be sure to cut down on those exposures, too. For more of the 15 grossest things you don't know you're eating. Now, pots and pans, immune system assassins. Some of the same nonstick chemicals added to popcorn bags also hide out in many nonstick pots and pans. A recent study published by Environmental Health Perspectives found women with higher levels of hormone-disrupting perfluorinated compounds like acid, PFQA, and perfluoroctane sulfonate, PFOS, in their blood were more likely to have autoimmune diseases
have the autoimmune disease osteoarthritis. The immunity boost. Don't panic if you have nonstick pans, but when you start noticing scratches and chips, replace them with glass made in the USA, cast iron, or stainless steel to avoid nonstick chemicals.
Very true. I dumped all my nonstick years ago. Loneliness. Wow. Immune system assassin. Your immune cells are social, and they want you to be too. T cells scan your body for disease and then share information like honeybees, according to a recent scientific breakthrough. If you are not social, it could impact your ability to fight disease. Ohio State researchers recently found worrying about close relationship acts like a chronic stressor that suppresses your immunity. Previous research found we're more likely to get sick and die earlier when we have fewer social connections. I've known about this. If you can't seem to click with new people, try volunteering where you'll find generous and grateful folks, such as the soup kitchen. You're not necessarily looking to make new friends there, though it's great if you do, but if you may find it easier to lower your guard in an atmosphere of altruism and gratitude.
Okay, lack of sleep. Slacking in the sleep department can lower the number of killer cells your body needs to wipe out infections. A University of Chicago study found that sleeping just 4 hours a night for a week cut the number of flu-fighting antibodies in study participants' systems in half. The immunity boost? Stay away from looking at screens for at least 2 hours before going to bed. The light from your electronic screens can trick your brain from easing into sleep mode. Aim for a 7 to 9 hours of uninterrupted sleep.
That would be wonderful.
Antibiotics. This sounds interesting.
Taking antibiotics can slash your levels of cytokines, the hormone messengers your immune system relies on during sickness. Immune boost. Cold and flu and most middle ear and sinus infections are caused by viruses. So taking antibiotics will do nothing for your ailment and will wipe out immune-supporting bacteria in your gut. Idiots! Find out when you actually need antibiotics. Click here. When you are antibiotics, be sure to take doses on time and finish the entire course. Eat low-sugar yogurt and fermented foods to repopulate your gut flora.
Canned food, the immune system assassin. Bisphenol A, or BPA, coats the inside linings of most canned foods. In 2010, University of Michigan School of Public Health researchers found that adults with higher levels of BPA also had higher cytomegalovirus antibody levels.
Sounds creepy.
Yeah. Suggesting that their cell-mediated immune system is malfunctioning. The immunity boost, to avoid BPA, opt for fresh or frozen foods versus canned, or search for soups and broths in Tetra Pak boxes. Now, it's funny, seeing how a lot of preppers out there stock up on canned foods, so this kind of spits right in the face of that.
True, but if you... I store some canned food, but usually don't eat it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
During a disaster, in the short term, I will have no problem eating cans of spinach or whatever.
Right.
Freeze-dried, of course, would not be an issue, but I wouldn't... In an emergency, I wouldn't even think twice. I would... If you offered me a loaf of bread during a disaster, I would eat that crap. I wouldn't think twice about it.
Now, what if it was a canned loaf of bread?
I would eat that, too.
Okay, then.
Sure. I've had and will buy again Bega grass-fed butter in a can, and I would put that grass-fed butter on that bread.
Well,
it was actually really good. It was like Kerrygold.
Today, you put butter on a Pop-Tart.
I did. Next, sugar! Eating 100 grams of sugar... Think a bottle of soda, fruit yogurt, and a candy bar significantly lowered the ability of white blood cells to kill bacteria for up to 5 hours, according to a study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Immunity boost. Avoid foods with added sugar, such as much as possible, especially during cold and flu seasons. It is obvious place, in its obvious places, such as juices, sodas, desserts, but significant amounts also hide out in low-fat yogurts, bread, condiments, and salad dressings.
Dehydration. Fluids help flush your body of immune-damaging toxins and carry nutrients to any infection sites. Little-known fact, many of us walk around mildly dehydrated most of the time without even knowing it. The immunity boost. If your pee is dark yellow in the morning, drink more water before bed. You're aiming for pale yellow for a visible sign of proper hydration.
That's only a sign of proper hydration if things are really badly broken. Because my pee has been brown like twice in my entire life. My pee usually is completely clear all the time. But I am a very thirsty mother person. Mother person. Eventually, we're just going to start cussing on this show and just be done with it.
Oh, we've already done it. You're just too lazy to edit it out.
Antibacterial soap.
Yeah, right there.
Researchers at the Johns Hopkins Children's Center found children exposed to antibacterial chemicals are prone to food and environmental allergies. Children with higher levels of antibacterials in their urine experience higher IgE blood antibody levels. High antibody counts signal a response to an allergen. The researchers believe that the antibacterial chemicals alter healthy immune system development. Immunity boost. Children with more triclosan, a popular antibacterial soap chemical in their blood, the highest allergy risk. In their blood, high... What?
It's saying to get high. Children with more triclosan, a popular antibacterial soap chemical in their blood,
high the highest
allergy risk.
Washing with regular soap and water works just as well without the added risks. I've known about this. Like, I mean, there's antibacterial, antimicrobial, everything, and we never get exposed to diseases or bacteria, so our immune systems never had anything to do, which just makes weak immune systems. Like, your kids should have runny noses and put dog poop in their mouth. It happens.
I do not recommend the dog poop in the mouth thing.
But it happens. Kids do everything.
Your immune system needs a good callus on it.
Yes.
In school, the kids get their hand sanitizer all the time. The teachers will make them come put hand sanitizer on constantly at home.
And you need to send them. Well, you're pulling your kids out homeschooling.
Yeah, we're pulling our kids out of public school. Yeah, that has nothing to do with this, but we're homeschooling our children from here on out because.
Yeah.
I mean, there are.
I really send my friend Cheryl a request to be our friend and chat with her.
Okay, now let's see. Air pollution. Cutting-edge research is unearthing a connection between air pollution, specifically polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs, and damaged immune systems. PAHs pour from exhaust pipes and flake off driveways, playgrounds, and parking lots related with coal tar sealant. Immunity boost? Check local pollution levels and avoid exercising outdoors on high pollution days. Push for a coal tar sealant ban in your city, state, or municipality to reduce PAH exposure from blacktop surfaces. Safer alternatives that coal tar are readily available at most hardware stores, but they probably cost more, which is why your city doesn't use them.
Right, and I don't want to push for a ban on anything. Just leave the government out of this shit.
Yeah.
And lastly, insecticides. Using toxic insecticides in blah, blah, blah.
I'll take this one.
I got it. Using toxic insecticides to kill household and lawn pests could increase your risk of developing an autoimmune disease. According to data recently presented at an American College of Rheumatology meeting.
Okay, you got it.
Women who sprayed insecticides at least 6 times a year were about 2.5 times more likely to develop lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. Those who hired a professional lawn service to apply the insecticides to their yard had 2 times greater risk because they probably sprayed 4 times as much. Immunity boost. Use non-toxic pest control measures and use these organic lawn care tips to keep your house pest-free without chemicals. Plant native plants in your garden to attract beneficial insects to prey on pests, too.
What a doozy of an article!
Yeah.
With tongue-twisting polycarbonate flucalize.
That was just full of $9 college words right
yes,
there.
Yes, and I don't like it. So anyway, let's move on to what is next.
Okay.
Which is...
Oh, yes, our Wild Edible of the Week.
Wild Edible of the Week.
It's a new little short segment that we're starting. The Wild Edible of the Week. Each week we're going to pick a different wild edible, and this is possibly going to be building to something greater. I want to start a whole segment on this. But, yeah, what's this week's Wild Edible of the Week?
Well, unfortunately, we do not have...
Our books.
Our book.
Yeah, you forgot the books. We have these two great books all about wild edibles and our...
I took them out of my backpack to wash it.
And James, our very own survival punk here, completely flaked on bringing them.
Here we go. Oh, on the Art of Manliness website. I like those guys. Oh, so let's, there's 19. We're going to pick one.
We're going to pick one.
And I'm going to...
Let the page load. Okay. The prickly pear cactus.
Awesome. What interesting.
Found in the deserts of North America, the prickly pear cactus is a very tasty and nutritional plant that can help you survive the next time you're stranded in the desert. The fruit of the prickly pear cactus looks like a red or purplish pear, hence the name. Before eating the plant, carefully remove the small spines on the outer skin, or else it will feel like you're swallowing a porcupine. You can also eat the young stem of the prickly pear cactus. It's best to boil the stems before eating them. Now, I've actually seen these served in restaurants.
Yeah.
And they're pretty easy to spot. They're the cactus that has the large, flat, kind of thick part to it.
Right.
So, yeah, that is our Wild Edible of the Week.
Nice.
And moving on to one of our other weekly segments, it's time to talk about our friends over at Survival Gear Bags.
Yes! If you're looking for... survival gear bags to carry your gear around in, or survival gear to put in the survival gear bags, and head over to survivalgearbags.com, ran by the amazing Kelly John Doe, who runs the TSP gear store, and he sells some patches and t-shirts for me, and great all-around guy. So check him out, head to survivalpunk.com, click his banner in the margin, and buy something.
Exactly. And now it is come time, ladies and gentlemen, to put our very own Survival Punk's brain powers to the test on a game that is about 11 years outdated. It is time for Mike's Worst Cases. And you know something? Some of you who follow the blog out there know that James here considers himself something of a wizard in the kitchen. He likes to do quite a bit of cooking.
I do.
Yes, he does. I mean, he's very preferential towards his cookware. He loves his cast iron. So he fiddles around, and he likes to post pictures of his food on Facebook like a girl. But anyway, so this week on Mike's Worst Cases, we're going to have some culinary worst cases. Just because they happen to be in the box. I don't know why they were in the box, but they're in there.
Oh, interesting.
So we're going to throw out some culinary worst cases for you this week. Survival Punk James, are you ready?
Yes.
As per usual, I'll ask you 5 questions. You have to get 3 out of 5 in order to win our grand prize, and if you fail, you will be punished severely. Okay. Your first question. How to avoid giving your guests food poisoning? Do you A, do not serve foods that have been frozen, thawed, and then refrozen? B, do not serve homemade mayonnaise, rare meats, or foods from dented cans? Or C, serve lots of alcohol to kill any bacteria. You should see him think with his fingers in his eyes. He's trying to pull some kind of guess out of the ether. What did they think was right 13 years ago?
I'm going to go with A. You're not supposed to freeze. I mean, rare meats can be okay. And mayonnaise can be okay. I don't have an issue with either of those. But you can get foodborne pathogens by freezing, thawing, and refreezing.
Okay. That's your final answer?
That's my final answer.
I'm sorry, but the correct answer, according to 2003 knowledge, is B. Do not serve homemade mayonnaise, rare meats, or food from dented cans.
The dented can one, yeah. I'm going to say they're wrong. Move on.
Okay, well, you're wrong. So, okay, next. You were 0 for 1 so
yes.
far? Okay, 0 for 1. How to remove the metallic taste from canned vegetables? Do you A, drain and rinse well with cold water? B, drain and rinse well with warm water? C, drain well, blanch in boiling water for 1 minute, and rinse in cool water?
C.
Ding, 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 ding. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a one for, so you're 1-1 here. All right. Next, how to disguise a cracked cheesecake. And who hasn't been through that?
Sour cream. Spread sour cream on top.
Would you let me read the questions? Would you let me read the answers?
Go ahead.
All right. Do you A, smooth over the cracks with a spatula immediately after removing from the oven? B, hide the cracks by swirling sauce on top of it while it's still warm? Or C, fill the cracks with creme fraiche when it cools?
Creme fraiche, C.
The correct answer is A, smooth over the cracks with a spatula immediately after removing from the oven.
Sour cream works better.
Well, anyway. So, if you miss one more, you lose.
Okay.
All right. And next, how to test eggs for freshness.
Do they float?
Do you A, put them in a bowl and fill with water. Fresh eggs will float to the top.
Damn it.
B, put them next to your car and thump them. Fresh eggs sound hollow. Oh, back to your ear.
I'm sorry. What's a car?
Well, their E look like a C, okay? Put them next to your ear and thump them. C, lay them on the counter. Fresh eggs roll.
Water. Put them in water. A.
Okay, and ding, 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 ding. Correct. So, we're going into sudden death here. Can you feel the tension in the air?
I can feel the tension.
You can feel the tension. Okay. And your last question. This is for all the marbles. How to clean a... I don't want to read this.
Cast iron skillet.
How to clean a cast iron dish covered with burnt drippings. Do you A, let the pot dry, then spray with oven cleaner, put on the lid, and let it sit for several hours?
That makes me want to murder everything in the universe.
B, soak in vinegar for 1 hour, rinse thoroughly with cold water.
Ugh.
Or C, fill with equal parts boiling water and bleach, let sit overnight.
Ah!
I don't think our survival punk here agrees with any of these questions, with any of these answers. So
read A and B again. I'm not putting bleach anywhere near my cast iron.
Okay, so you're automatically canceling out C. So it's between A and B. A, let the pot dry, then spray with oven cleaner. Put on the lid and let it sit for several hours. Or B, soak in vinegar for 1 hour, rinse thoroughly with cold water. What was right 11 years ago?
Oven cleaner will clean it.
Ding, 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 ding. That is correct. You have actually won this week's round of Mike's Worst Cases. And your prize, you just won a cheese Danish, which you have already eaten.
Yay. What is next?
All right.
All those answers in the cast iron made me cringe. If you're listening, and you're thinking, James from Spellpunk, how do I clean my cast iron? Do not do that. Do not do that. If it is caked on there and you cannot get it out, fill it up about halfway and boil your water. When it's boiling, take your spatula, which should be made of metal, and scrape it out. Drain out the liquid. Wipe out any remaining crusties. Wipe it out until completely dry. Put it back on the oven on the lowest temperature as possible until the water is all gone. And then take your grease, your fat, I use lard, and rub it down in there until you get a nice black sheen. A black sheen until it's like a black mirror you're looking in.
Oh.
And then hang it up to dry. If it is not crusty and you do not do that, pour in some salt and scrub it. And then pour the salt out to avoid using any liquid coming in contact with your cast iron to keep it good.
You realize if you had said this back in 2003, they probably would have burned you as a witch.
Whatever. This is, if I would have said this back in 1970, they would have been like, well, no crap. You idiot.
All right, and now it's time for our Permaculture Minute. New segment on the show. And you want to tell us about our Permaculture Minute here?
Yeah, so I just signed up for the PermaEthos PDC course. Normally these PDC courses, and I've been looking at taking one for a while, a Permaculture Design course. Usually they run about $1,000 to $1,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pricey.
Jack Spirico from the Survival Podcast opened up his PermaEthos PDC course, an all-online course with question and answer sections and video content for $300. Mm-hmm. And you become a lifetime member of Promo Ethos and some other benefits and stuff. So, $300 over $1,000. Mm-hmm. I decided to sign up for it.
Oh, I can imagine.
So, I'll be getting my... and you get a certificate of completion, like a legit PDC certificate saying that you are a permaculture design consultant. Just something to add to my bag.
Permaculture design consultant?
Yes.
What? Huh?
It means I'm certified to do permaculture designs, landscapes and stuff.
Oh.
So in lieu of that, I decided to start using the permaculture playing cards I bought from Paul Wheaton.
Which had actually been a survival gadget on a previous episode.
Right. We're going to... I mean, obviously it's a deck card, so there should be at least 52 playing cards in here. We'll do...
54 if you count the jokers.
Yeah, we'll do one per week or so. So we have years worth of cards here.
We have 1 year's worth of cards if we do one a week. 52 weeks in a year.
Right.
52 cards in a
day. But we're usually kind of lazy and skip a week, so...
Well, no, we are not lazy.
You've tried to get out of it before, so...
No, I don't try to get out of this show. I try to get out of the other show. Ramblings
podcast. Mike's wife, cut the deck. And pick a card. Pick any card.
I do have some new samurai swords. You can use one of those to cut the deck with.
That is literally a $20 deck card. Do not cut that deck card. It's literally. Literally.
Producer, I dare you. He said cut, not shuffle.
I'm doing that anyway. Look at a good one.
And today's permaculture minute playing card is a food forest.
Wait a minute. That's the three of spades.
It is the three of spades, but
you gotta tell us about that.
The three of spades. Plant a food forest and it will feed you and your descendants indefinitely. A well-balanced system will take care of itself. Start by planting mostly mulch makers, insectary plants, and nitrogen-fixing plants to generate the best soil along with your perennial climax trees. Later, transition towards more climax species. A properly designed food forest will produce food year after year without irrigation, fertilization, or the need for pest control. There are established food forests that are 300 to 3,000 years old.
Wow.
So forests that have nut trees and fruit trees and vining stuff that humans can eat and understory things like bushes and shrubs that we can eat. Mm-hmm. So it's, and then things to support those growing on their own. And food forest goes back in the box.
Here we go. And that was our permaculture minute. Okay, and we got a special sponsor ad this week. We'd like to throw a shout out to a friend of James is over here.
Oh, yeah.
Want to tell about Barbecue MF?
Right, so a high school friend / college friend, Marty, launched a new business venture, and I'm pretty interested in it because it's barbecue, and I'm a fan. I don't know if you know this, but things that come off the grill and have barbecue, I like.
I've never seen you even touch a grill.
Yeah, I know. So he has the website BBQMF. So, short for Barbecue Motherfucker, which is just the name of this brand. I mean, we have to say it.
We didn't have to say it. You just wanted to.
BBQMF. So, they've got some dry rubs, and they've got some bottled spices. They have t-shirts and shot glasses, if that's your thing.
I'd like to point out the Hellfire Sauce, available with donations of $6 or more. This crap is hot. If you like our signature sauce but need some more heat, this is for you.
Hair of the Dog sauce. Our signature sauce, but with a kick from whiskey and Coke. And I'm sure they literally put Coke and whiskey in this sauce.
And I think they mean Coca-Cola, not yes. Cocaine.
Oh, no? Oh.
No?
Okay. they have dry rubs. I'm more interested in the dry rub. I'm more of a dry rub person, although I thought about doing some paleo barbecue sauce and doing a review of that.
And according to this, theirs is the most amazing dry rub on the face of the earth. Sweet, savory, and a bit smoky. It pairs well with pork, beef, chicken, fish, and veggies. Use it for grilling, smoking, and baking.
Right. So I'm looking to pick up some barbecue spice rub from them. It is not paleo, but every once in a while you have to have a little spice in your life.
And you can find them on the web at bbqmf.net.
Yes.
Okay. And if you want we're helping our friends sell stuff here. And if you want to sell anything on the Survival Punk podcast or on Survival Punk, we are looking for sponsor spots. We're looking for more ads up there, and we can cut you some pretty good deals. You want to tell them about those deals?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the past we've mentioned some of the discounts we'll do for, like, Bitcoin, or if you've got meat you want to barter. If Marty from BBQMF wanted to trade some spice rub for some advertising, I'd be willing to work that deal out.
Now, keep in mind, our podcast and the blog and everything is about to get picked up and advertised semi-nationally.
Yes.
So your stuff could be sold all over the country, so keep that in mind.
Right, and because we are going to start investing in advertising, the rates are really good right now. Right now, for the next couple months, you can get in for a year of advertising for $500, or if you have barter items or bitcoins or silver, we can work out a deal. But $500 a year.
Yeah, $500 cash. What if they wanted to pay you with bitcoins? How many bitcoins would that be worth?
I would do it the equivalent of half. So if they want to pay me $250 in bitcoins, I'll do a year of advertising.
And what about precious metals?
Precious metals, same. $250 in worth of ounces. So I had to figure at face value if you did buy American currency 1964 silver or rounds, but
bartering, it's going to vary depending on the product.
Yeah, if you've got a half of a cow you want to barter, we can make that deal happen.
And you want to get in while the getting's good, because after we start getting advertised nationally, unfortunately, we are going to have to increase the rates a little. Don't worry, it's not going to be anything life-threatening or neck-breaking.
Yeah, if you get in now, there'll be $500 a year or variable barter price. I'm going to raise them in probably September to be about double that. And then probably shortly after that, even higher, possibly.
Now, I mean, this isn't. Are you asking that they pay all this up front, or going to do a payments, or what?
If they want to pay for the year, it'll be $500 up front. They could use the 3 month is like $150, and then
yeah, we have different advertising packages. Yeah. So if you got any questions about it, shoot an email over to james@survivalpunk.com.
Right. And I will finagle with you and work out a deal.
All right, and it's moved on to that time of the show, my favorite time of the show, the time where we try to get celebrities to come on our show. It is Mike's celebrity invite. And this week, we've actually already mentioned his name at least once in the show, but the celebrity I would love to invite onto our podcast is one Mr. Michael W. Dean, the one who's potentially going to take us national. That would be something.
Right, yeah, I mean, he's going to, which is kind of cool because he used his internet kung fu to go search my phone number, which he's like, you know, your phone number is pretty easy to find online. And I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
So he called me and he was talking to me on my lunch break. And he talked me into going with his advertising program. I've worked with him in the past a few times, and it's always been a good experience. So I'm going to do that, and I'll probably do some Google ads. But, yeah, starting in June, we'll be advertised on the Freedom Fiends.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. That is going to be super sweet.
Yes, I'm excited.
All right, well, you know what? It has been a great show.
Oh, and I'll be guest starring on his podcast at some point.
So, oh, you will? Yeah. We'll keep you posted on that. Let you know when our very own James, our Survival Punk, is going to be on his podcast. So, but I tell you, this has been a great show. You've been relatively energetic this time, and maybe it's because of all the vitamin D screaming down like a great burning ball of gas in our solar system.
Right. I love the sun and the. So let's wrap this up and head outside and play.
Yeah, and I know we missed a couple of weeks. Sorry about that. It won't happen again. But for Survival Punk, I am Mike.
And I'm James.
And just keep in mind, punctuality even can be a survival tactic. Make sure you got to show up to record our show.
Have a good day.